Amen. Anybody come to praise the Lord today? Yes. Well, I think we could probably do a little bit better than that. So if you come to praise the Lord today, just go ahead and break out and begin to praise Him. He alone is worthy of all praise. Amen. Glory to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Father, we come before You today with an expectant heart, Father, that You would speak to us. Father, anything that's not of You right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, we bind, rebuke, and cast it into the pit of hell where it came from. Father, we ask that You remove distractions, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ. That, Father, You allow us this hour to be narrowly focused on the reading of Your holy and precious word. Father, we would ask that that word would speak to us individually, collectively, and, Father, that we would go out of here a changed person. And Father, now we pray for that omnipresence, God. We pray for the awakening of the Holy Spirit that's in each and every one of us, born again believers, that God, You would begin to stir something that is inside of us, that we would be changed people with the Word of God today. Father, we seek the truth in the Word of God. God, we don't seek the things of the world. We seek You, Lord. So, Father, today we would ask that You would move and move in a mighty way. Father, we pray this morning that I would decrease, You would increase, the blind eyes be open, the deaf ears hear. Father, that You would have Your way today. Father, we have invited You. Now with that expectation and that expectant heart, we come before You. Father, we do give You all praise, all honor, and all glory for what You've already got us through this past week. Father, this is a new week. New warfare, new trials, and new victories. Father, as I've seen our sister Edie walk in here today, Father, I start thanking You. Thank You, Lord, for answered prayer. Thank You, Lord, for healing our bodies. Thank You for the living Word of God. God, we give You that praise, honor, and glory this morning, and we thank You. It's in the mighty name of Jesus that we pray, and everyone said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. You excited to be here this morning? Well, I hope you are. This morning, we got a word for you this morning. I think it is incredible what God does. It's just the word, right? Everybody say word. Word. And while we want the word, we want to devour the word. I want to challenge you this morning. I don't never like to be in this pulpit and not challenge you. Amen? So we're all on different levels, different times, but we're still all saved by the same grace. And so what we're doing is we're working out our salvation with fear and trembling. We're moving it forward. We're getting closer. Some of us are in spiritual warfare today. Some of us will be in it tomorrow, right? But the truth is we're in this battle together. Everybody say together. I want to talk to you about something today that can be in the New Testament church, as they're putting it today, can be really challenging. I want to talk to you today about the anointing. Amen. I want to talk to you about the anointing, and here's why. I just shared that I was at my mother's funeral a few weeks ago, and this gentleman spoke. He just Dr. Chan just dropped into me. He started telling me about the anointing, and he said, "I see something. I see something." I said, "Well, go ahead." So I started listening. I'm sitting down. When he keeps talking, I stand up, because all of a sudden he's talking about what I'm going to share with you this morning. I want to share with you how I see you. I want to share with you how God sees us. And what the truth is that what God wants out of you and I today, I want to challenge you. I want to challenge sometimes our shallow theology. Sometimes we think we got it all figured out, but I've been finding out I learned something every day from the Bible that I never knew before. That word's exactly the same every day, but God's taken me to a new level as He does for each and every one of us. But this morning, I'm going to give it to you. The anointing makes the difference. The anointing. So don't check out until I get done here, but I want you to really think about this anointing. The anointing, when we look at the anointing is the indwelling, okay? It's the indwelling of the presence. Now, I want you to hear me, the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. Okay, everybody got that? All right, so when I say that to you, I say it with a great purpose. The anointing is the indwelling, okay? It's the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. Now, if you're not a believer, you don't understand. That's okay. But when you receive Christ, you know all of a sudden there's an indwelling. You know something begins to take place. There's a shaping, a molding, a changing, a correcting, a teaching, a rebuking that begins to take place. And so often we try to figure out, what in the world was that? We know that we was lost, but now all of a sudden we're found. We know we was blind, but now all of a sudden we see. And then we begin to wonder what this indwelling, this anointing is about. It enables the believer, everybody say believer. It enables the believer to understand and apply and administer spiritual truth. Spiritual truth, simply put, the presence of the anointing enables believers to have spiritual connection. Does anybody want some spiritual connection today? Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you, you already got it. We're going to wake it up and stir it up, and we're going to get it going, right? So the problem, I'm going to talk about the old anointing. I want to talk about some things that will be, you'll hear in a minute, but you're hearing this word like fake. And you're going to be hearing some really familiar, challenging things today. But if you've been saved a long time and you think you're walking in the anointing, you might be walking with the Holy Spirit that is dwelling inside of you, no doubt about it. But what God is wanting to do today is he's wanting to stir the anointing. He's wanting to wake up the presence of God in you. What he did for you 30 or 40 years ago is still just as good today. You don't got to live on yesterday's milk, amen. God is telling you, I want you to move into some meat now. And he wants you to begin to move. Everybody say, I'm moving. But this anointing, it makes the difference. I don't want, everybody say, substitute. Now, you know when you was in school and you had substitute teachers, you mean to them, rude, disrespectful, never paid attention, always got sent to the office, always got cracks when the substitute was there. That was me. I never could figure it out. I didn't like the substitute. But now I think about it from a spiritual joking, all right? But here's the thing is that thinking about from the spiritual side, do you like a substitute? No, you don't, because you want the real thing. You begin to think about this, and I want you to just question, I just want to caution you there. You have the Spirit living inside of you, amen? You have everything that you need, and he says, I will bear witness with you. When he begins to tell you yes, no, maybe, stop, quit, sure enough, telling you. Okay, that got quiet. But I don't want substitutes. When I look at substitute something, when I think about the definition of substitute, something acting or serving in the place of another. Okay, it's an act. It's something that's trying to be something that it's not. It's fake. Can you say amen? All right, let me keep going. I don't want the substitutes. We're living in an hour of substitute in the body of Jesus Christ. We're living in it, okay? And we think we can substitute the anointing of the Holy Spirit for other things when there is nothing that will get the job done like the anointing. We begin to think that we can do something in our own flesh, but let me tell you, God is telling you to persecute the flesh, kill the flesh, wipe out the flesh, and feed the Spirit. Rise up in the name of Jesus. That's what God wants out of you and I. Amen. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning specifically out of Exodus chapter 30, and I want to talk to you this morning about the holy anointing. Today, we're to be seeking the holy anointing. We're supposed to all be having the anointing. As Dr. Chan told me, he said, you got something special, but so don't all of us. I said, well, talk to me about this. And Kelly, he began to say, you have the anointing. You have the presence of the Holy Spirit that's living inside of you. Don't you know that's what the enemy hates? The enemy hates that you have the anointing. The enemy hates that you have the presence of God. The enemy doesn't like it because he's a counterfeit, he's fake, and he wants to mess you up. He knows that when John 10:10 comes, the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. But Christ came so you and I can have a life and a life of abundance. The enemy hates your guts. He hates your anointing. He hates the Holy Spirit. And the enemy's going to do everything he can to distract it or to take it away. But listen to this. In Exodus 30, and I'm going to begin in verse 22. Moreover, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, verse 23, also take for yourself quality spices, the best spices. Then he lists five different kinds of spices, 500 shekels of liquid myrrh, half as much as the sweet-smelling cinnamon, 250 shekels, 250 shekels of sweet-smelling cane. Then in verse 24, he gives the quantities, 500 shekels of cassia, according to the shekel of sanctuary, and a hin of olive oil. Now, everybody say hin. Now, hin represents six quarts of oil. Everybody got that? Okay, so David, would you go over and get my oil out of the corner? It should be right behind that speaker unless Dylan hid it from me. Is it there? Bring it on over here. Thank you. Right here. Thank you. Now this right here, you think I'm going to dump it on you? I might. All right. Maybe a little bit. Sit down. Thank you. Let's give David a hand. All right, David. So that you think about a quart, and it's nothing like this. Hold your water bottle up. That's probably about a quart, right? So that's about a quart. So six of those, not six of these. So everybody say, that's a lot of oil. That's a lot of oil. And so if you've ever been anointed with the oil on this altar when you come up and you're healed by Jesus Christ, 39 stripes, when you need someone to stand the gap, whatever it is, you know there's something about this oil, amen. It's just pure virgin olive oil is all it is, but there's something about it that I'm going to share with you this morning. Now, that's going to be in there for a purpose, okay? So as we look at this anointing oil and we begin to think about it, six quarts is a lot. Verse 25 is, and you shall make from these a holy anointing oil, an anointment compounded according to the art of a perfumer. It shall be a holy anointing oil. You shall consecrate them that they may be most holy. Whatever touches them must be holy. Verse 30, and you shall anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them that they may minister to me as priests. Listen, we may think this was for them. Okay, everybody hear me? I've heard some really sorry theology thinking that the anointing is from the Old Testament and the Old Testament only. Okay, I'm going to disqualify that today because it is a lie. Okay, God wants us to keep going here. Verse 31, and you shall speak to the children of Israel, saying, this shall be a holy anointing oil, amen, to me throughout your generation. And what's happening here is God is talking about the generations that's to come, and here we are again. God is telling you, I've given you an anointing, amen, and I'm going to qualify it from the Old Testament point to the New Testament that says you are the anointed when you receive Jesus Christ. There is something that's freely given to you that's called the Holy Spirit. In verse 31, and you shall speak to the children of Israel, saying, wow, this shall be a holy anointing oil to me throughout your generation. As God's speaking, it shall not be poured on man's flesh. Oh, there's why we don't use it no more in the New Testament church. Everybody say false statement. All right. Yeah, there's something comes with it. That's why we don't do it, right? Let me keep going. Oh, this is good stuff. It shall not be poured on man's flesh, nor shall you make any other like it. No substitutes, just the real thing. According to its composition, it is holy, and it shall be holy to you. It is sacred, and it should be considered sacred to you and how it's applied. Amen? Verse 33, whoever compounds any like it, or whoever puts any of it on an outsider or a stranger, if you will, shall be cut off from his people. So who's to be anointed? The believer. The believer. Everybody say believer. Believer. If you've accepted Jesus Christ, you are a believer. Amen. I remember a sermon that impacted me in my life many years ago, and I heard this from an old guy, and I've hung on to it for the years to come. It made a difference to me, and I still remember the title of it today. And it's a guy that I knew a guy that knew a guy, all right? That's how I got to him. But Dr. R.H. Hughes, he preached a sermon that impacted the generations of preachers that was before my generation. And as I began to come into the ministry, I began to know that there was something different about those old people, amen? They had something that was real. And the title of that message is exactly what we're talking about this morning. The anointing makes the difference. So I began to go, and I remember when I became an evangelist, and I began to do revivals, and I began to do all these different things and travel. I know that it was very difficult. I remember walking in the first time as an evangelist into a foreign church, and I walked in there, knew nothing about it. Well, I knew this place was a big, big church. It was humongous. And I walked up inside this church to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I was back there. I was praying, God, let me decrease, you increase. God, I need your anointing. But when I walked up in that church, and I walked out, I was like, what in the world? There's all six there. All six of them. And I was sitting there, I said, God, surely you don't want me to preach to six people. He said, do you know anybody needs it more than those six? And I said, obviously I do, Lord. That very first message I spoke, time I was done, is 12. God doubled the congregation. But what happened was God began to stir not them only, but me. God began to tell me, why are you looking at something like that when I've called you, I've positioned you, I've anointed you, I've sent you, I'm telling you I want you to do it. Is it one soul worth it? Yeah, what an awakening for me in my shallow theology, my shallow thinking of how it should be. The anointing makes the difference. How many of you know there's a difference between singing and anointed singing? Everybody wants to sound real good when you're singing, and something, this ain't right, something's going right. But when all of a sudden the anointing shows up, amen, you'll see these seven people up here finally disappear. They ain't nothing left of them. You think their mouths are shut. They ain't even up there. They ain't existing no more, because the anointing takes that praise and that worship, and it takes it to the next level. We know that preaching has to be anointed preaching. You can get up and read, and you can talk, and you can do all the stuff, but without the anointing, it falls on deaf ears. The church has to be an anointed church. People begin to talk about this great big massive church that's in Springfield, Ohio. Yes, this little church. But what they know that you have without a shadow of a doubt is you have the Word of God shut up inside of you. They know that you'll take and you'll begin to speak and you begin to open your mouth and God begins to come out of it. They know that you have the anointing. Yes. Business. We talk about our businesses, amen. Our business is dead without the anointing, amen. People I was talking to the other day, how's your business going? I said, man, we're deader than a doornail, whatever that means. I said, we're deader than a doornail. We ain't got nothing. They said, what are you going to do? I said, we're just going to keep rejoicing because it's coming, because we have the anointing. It says, trust Jesus on the counter. It says, trust Jesus on the interstate sign. It says, trust Jesus on our trucks. It says, trust Jesus when we represent who our company is. See, you got to have the anointing. The anointing, because the anointing makes the difference. The anointing makes the difference in your life. It makes the difference in the marketplace. The anointing on your life and the gifts and the call in your life are made more powerful. They're made more fruitful when you have the anointing. The anointing usually refers to olive oil on a person's head, to show God's favor in their lives or to seek healing or whatever it might be. It says to come together for that. But what makes us effective is the anointing. What makes us effective is the anointing. Everybody got that? End of the sermon. I want to talk about what takes away the anointing. I want to talk about some things here with the anointing that we might get skipped out on or miss, but I want you to know that what makes us effective is the anointing. What makes you effective going to the nursing homes, the prisons, the jails, the highways, the byways, and everywhere you go? It's not that we got 500 people doing it. We got five dedicated, anointed people saying, I'm going to pick me, I'll go. All right, and what happens is God begins to anoint you, and he begins to move you into action. And when you're moved into action, the truth is this, people begin to look at you and say stuff about you, and you're like, I don't even get it, man. I'm just doing what God told me to do. I'm just trying to be obedient. I'm trying to be the hands and feet of Christ, amen? Amen. But we know in John's day, I want to talk about John here in 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. In John's day, they were claiming the special anointing. It was a counterfeit. John countered this, and he called it false teaching. Today, we're in the midst of false teaching, amen? We had that little conversation this morning as all of us was getting ready to pray early this morning. And I said, you got to watch out for all this false stuff. And they said, you mean? I said, yes, almost everybody. You got to get in God's Word. You got to read God's Word. God will reveal to you, amen? Yeah. All right, that's all I wanted to say about that. But this is it. What makes us effective is the anointing. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 20. But you have an anointing, an unction. Everybody say unction. You have an anointing or an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Look at that. John countered here. John countered, we possess the special anointing with the Holy Spirit's help. We can discern truth from error. Truth, right? Amen? And when the anointing is up on you, it abides within you. It's within you. It's something that all you do is let it come out, amen? It abides in you. When the anointing is up on someone, there is an unction behind them. And when you look at that word unction in Scripture, it's talking about a consecration, amen? It's talking about only the Holy Spirit can generate this. It's saying the only thing that's going to bring that up out of you, when someone begins to look at you and know you're a little bit different, the only thing that can generate that is the Holy Spirit that's dwelling inside of you. It's not about your performance or your law abiding or anything else. What it's about is the anointing. What it's about is the consecration between you and your Savior Jesus Christ. When he rose into heaven, he says, I'm leaving a deposit with you. I'm telling you, you'll have everything it takes. You can overcome any battle when you consecrate it, when you put it before the Lord, and the Lord begins to work. Everybody shout hallelujah. There's something about the anointing that gives you unction. It quickens you. It gives you the ability to do something. As I like to put it, just graces you. Amen. You know, you go out and you witness to that person nobody else can witness to, and they get saved. The other 99 people say, how'd you ever get them to that? I couldn't even get them to listen to me. It's because something overcame you. You had an unction. You had a driven Holy Spirit. God was saying, I'm going to use you, right? Something about that anointing. The word anointing means, and we'll use it here, to smear or to rub. That's the actual name and the meaning of anointing, right? That's what it means. That's what we do here. You'll see it here in a little bit. The anointing will have a fragrance. Remember I told you it's different? It'll have its own smell, if you will. It's amazing to me that he said to take a hin of that smelly good stuff, right? And she smelled anointing oil. And I want to tell you, if I've ever anointed your forehead or I've ever anointed your hands and I've ever prayed with you, many of you always say, man, I was having a bad day. I can smell that oil. You hear me? There's something in that anointing oil. Let's keep going. It says that, you know, that's what we do here. That anointing will have that fragrance or that smell. It's amazing to me that he said, take a hin, though. I got hung up on this hin, and I studied the hin, and the hin means six quarts. I said, maybe I ain't looking at that right. But the hin is a representation of six quarts. In Exodus 30 and verse 24, 500 shekels of cassia, according to the shekel of sanctuary, and a hin of olive oil, or about six quarts. This is a symbolic message. In the Bible days, when they would anoint, they would take six quarts of this oil. Everybody say six. Now, I know all of you excited because I'm going to dump six quarts of oil on each one of your heads today, right? Not a dab, not a smear, not a dot, not a cross on your forehead with oil. But they pour six quarts of oil over their olive oil over their head. And I thought about how peculiar this was. Now, in the 133rd Psalm, 133, verses 1 and 2, I'm going to share verse 2 on the board with you. But as we look at verse 2, verse 1 is talking about how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. So there's the lead-in. When we are unified and when we are working together instead of devouring each other. Amen? Amen. Now, I'm going to warn you that good and pleasant part is not always really valued, even in the church today, is that we don't really want to work together. My wife has shown me another outreach ministry that kind of slammed on the churches this week. And I said, that's all right. I talked to the brother. She said, well, that's rude. I said, it might be rude. I said, I don't think he even meant it. All right, but it comes down to this, is that I'm going to tell him, hey, brother, we're in this together. Your opinion matters, but man, don't be attacking God's people because you're one of them, right? So we got to work together in unity is what this is talking about. Verse 2, it is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron running down on the edge of his garment. So now if you can picture this and you see the dumping, I want to need someone who wants six quarts of oil dumped on today. But Bob said, I'll take it. Well, I ain't going to dump six quarts. All right, but the Lord just might do it. The Lord just might do that. Amen. All right, let me keep going. The word here says he was drenched in the anointing. He was drenched in the anointing from head to toe. And that's what I just ask you, and all three of you raise your hand. Do you want to be drenched in the anointing? Do you really? So the question is this. This is another sermon I'm working on. Do you really, truly want the anointing? Because if you really, truly want the anointing, not only will you find it and get it, it's going to mess you up. It's going to mess you up the way you talk. It's going to mess you up the way you act. It's going to mess you up with the way you perceive things. It's going to turn you inside out, and you're going to see a brand new you that you've been looking through in your saved life for a long time. Can you shout hallelujah? Mm. So, and I believe there is a need in the church today for that kind of anointing. That's why I'm preaching on it. We don't need the little mercy drops of oil. We don't need, we're not fighting smaller things. We're fighting great big things in the church today. More than we ever have in history, there's an anointing that the Bible talks about in the book of Joel. In the book of Joel, Peter quoted this again and prophetically in the book of Joel. Peter quoted in Acts chapter 2 in verses 16 through 20. And what you're getting is you're getting some confirmation. Can you say amen? You begin to look at what Joel Joel said in chapter 2 and verse 28, and again, Peter echoed this in chapter 2 of Acts. And we begin to know that there's got to be something here if God's beginning to bring us full circle. God's Spirit is poured out here. Joel envisioned a time when the Spirit would be available to every believer all the time and at all times. And I think this is the day that you and I are walking in. I believe that the Spirit of a living God is inside of us. I believe it is alive. I believe it is speaking. And I believe it's wanting to do something in these perilous times that we are now in. But it says in verse 28, and it shall come to pass, everybody say pass. It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit. All of a sudden, you're beginning to understand all the way from the book of Joel in the Old Testament to the book of Acts and the upper room experience. You begin to understand that what God is telling us, and that I'm about to pour something up on you. It's going to be more than a hint. It's going to be more than six quarts. It's going to bleed all over you. It's going to run all over you. And it's going to qualify you to be my hands and feet in these lost last days. It doesn't matter what everybody else is saying or what everybody else is doing. God's telling you, I've called you, I've commanded you, I've positioned you for my greatness. Will you stand up and allow the anointing to be flame? Will you really want the abundance? Do you really want the overpouring? Do you want everything that God has for you? He's asking us, do we? Yeah, we want that. And it shall come to pass afterwards, I'll pour my Spirit out upon you. Not just momentarily touch you. I want there to be a saturation of the anointing. I want to be drenched in the anointing, not just for the preachers or the singers or the teachers. It's for every one of us. Every one of us. He says when you anoint, you are to have fresh oil. Amen. We got some fresh oil today. You hear me in Psalm 92:10? Listen to this. I have been anointed with fresh oil. Everybody say, I'm getting anointed today. Who's getting an anointing today? Amen. All right, one, two, three. Oh, a bunch of you. You guys going to get some fresh fire today then. What you're saying is, you know what, I didn't come to play church, I come to be the church. You know what, I need more. This is what we're going to talk about. Let's keep going here. It says, not just momentarily, the saturation, the drenching, not just for the people who are in leadership. When he says, you want to be anointed, I want to anoint you with fresh oil. There are a lot of people in the church today who are stale in their anointing. Amen. You can either say amen or oh me. I know that so often I get stale in my anointing, but I don't have to look too far back. Those couple of few decades ago when I finally received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. In the midst of me receiving Jesus Christ, the free gift of salvation, I begin to stumble around. Over the decades, I begin to get stale. I begin to get lukewarm. I begin not to have the zeal and the fire that I'm supposed to have. It might be just talking to me. They're stale in what God is doing in their life because it is an old anointing. Everybody say old anointing. Something that happened a long time ago. The Bible talks about the flies, okay? It talks about the flies in the ointment, amen? Listen, you might have a fly in your ointment, amen? If you don't have fresh ointment, the flies are attracted to your old, nasty, stinky ointment. Can you say amen? Amen. Woo! That's good for all of us old holy rollers, right? We have to have a fresh anointing from the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm telling you. You hear me? I can tell you, I preached on it a couple weeks ago. If you want to know if you need a fresh anointing, you know who Christ is. You get a critical spirit. You get a negative condensation. You look at what's wrong with everybody else instead of yourself. And I can keep on going. What happens? We become self-centered, self-seeking, self-righteous, self-indulgent. It's all about me. I got to figure it out. All the rest of the churches are wrong. No, they ain't. The only thing right in any of us is the Spirit of a living God. The only thing that's right, the same yesterday, today, and forever, is God's infallible Word. We have to have a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. That old smell of religion, when it gets on us, we just go to church, show up, just another Sunday, check it off, another sermon, I check that off, another singing, another praise, another worship. But when the fresh anointing comes, when the touch of the anointing comes in the church, when the power of the Holy Spirit comes through, there is a fresh and a freshness to it. You know what I'm talking about. You've been through it. You went through it. And all of a sudden, I don't know why it was in that message or that praise, but I couldn't get off the floor. Everybody else is judging me and looking at me, but I'm just in the presence of God, and I really don't care no more. Let me hear you. Let me hear you say amen on this. So when we look at this anointing, there's a quickening in the anointing. The anointing can do what other things absolutely cannot and will not do. When the anointing is there, it begins to permeate the atmosphere. When the anointing comes in here, some people just get up and leave. I get that. But some people can't even move. Is it the seekers? Or is it the finders? Or is it a combination? Look at this. When the woman broke open the alabaster box and anointed our Savior, Jesus' feet, it said the aroma of the anointing permeated the atmosphere. Amen? And then they began to say, what are you doing? Do you know how much that's worth? Quit wasting it on him. You know the story, right? Yeah, shamefully we do. There's something about the odor of the anointing when it fills the room. Not the physical, but the spiritual. When someone sings a song, the atmosphere begins to change. You ever notice that? The word is anointed. When the word is anointed, it begins to change the atmosphere. It's from the distractions. Lunch is next. Is he going to go this long? Just pour it on me. Whatever you say, preacher, it's got to be from the word of God. Pour it on me. That's when we change. The 72nd Psalm in verse 6 says it like this. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass. Why is he talking about grass? You know what I'm talking about. That hot summer day, freshly cut grass, and then the rain comes in. Not just, oh, I made it, got it done before it rained, but the smell, the aroma is unbelievable, and it's very distinguished, is it not? It's the same way with the Holy Spirit. It's very, very aromatic. It's very, very noticeable. It's something that we should long for. You ever walk out after it rained and the grass and you just had been cut and all of a sudden you start smelling it. Now, verse 7 says after verse 6, may the righteous flourish. So we begin to look at this. It's talking about the rain, the new things. It's talking about the aroma. But then it starts talking. I'm going to put this up later. But then it starts talking about our righteousness. If you are the righteousness of Christ, when you walk around, you're going to smell like some fresh cut grass. A man might not smell like grass, but you're going to smell good, right? Let me keep going here. There is an aroma that is what the anointing is like. When it comes, you can smell the rose of Sharon, as the Bible says. You can smell the lily of the valley. There is a sweetness. There is something that comes on us when we sense and we begin to feel this anointing. Now, back to the Song of Songs, the Song of Solomon here in chapter 2, verse number 1. Perhaps this young woman, what was being said here, you are a rose of Sharon. You are a lily in the valley. You begin to hear this word, and we use it, we implode it into song so often. Perhaps this young woman is saying, I'm not so special. There ain't nothing special about me. I'm just an ordinary flower. But Solomon replied, oh, no, you're not. Oh, no, you're not. You are extraordinary, a lily among the thorns. This is what, when we read the scripture, this is what it's saying to you. You might just think that God saved you just to be saved, to keep you from punching your ticket to hell. But what God says, you are special amongst my people. You are a lily. You are precious. You are somebody. And I didn't make no mistakes. I called you. I ordained you. I am the one that did it. Give him a hand clap of praise. All your garments are scented with myrrh, aloes, cassia, out of the ivory palaces by which they have made you glad. This expensive fragrance that you now carry, you didn't earn it, you didn't buy it. It's just something that is inside of you that permeates your very being. I believe that the high priest, after he was anointed with 6 quarts of oil, he had to walk home. Some of you, everybody say, I'm going home ugly today. Well, if you would go home ugly, then I ain't joking with you. I believe that he was walking by the people after the anointing. They were noticing that anointed man of God. They smelled the fresh aroma of the anointing. They say that this is an anointed person of God. There's something anointed about him. You ever been called and accused of that, right? He's anointed, leaving anointed footprints. He's got 6 quarts dripping from him every place he steps. We need oily footprints. We need oily footprints. We need to smell differently. We need an anointing on our lives this morning. We shouldn't have to go around telling folks that we're anointed. I believe we can leave here today with an anointing that they will notice when you go back to work, back to school, when you're in the grocery store. They will say there's something different about you. They don't even know what it is called, just something different, something that is unusual. You have a peace. You have a contentment. You have authority, and we know this. It's all about what's going on in us. It's called the anointing. Hallelujah. What we need to seek is that when we walk or talk, we're walking in the anointing of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful that it's available to you and I today. In verse 32 of Exodus 30, it shall not be poured on man's flesh, nor shall you make any other like it. No substitutes, just the real thing, baby. According to his composition, it is to be holy, and it shall be holy to you. So when you receive the anointing, you need to be seeking to be holy. Okay, look, I'm qualifying us here. Don't you know there is a difference in anointed services? Don't you know that? Amen. Moses was anointed, and he had to put a veil on his face because he was shining with the glory of God. In Exodus 34. Stephen got so anointed that the Bible said they couldn't resist the spirit by which he spoke. His face was lit up like an angel in Acts chapter 6. We need to be lit up by the power of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Do you want to be lit up with the anointing? Give God praise this morning because the anointing makes the difference. I feel like I might have lost some of you, so let's just go ahead and let's say we need the anointing. We need it. Stand up, take a praise break. Let's begin to thank God. God, I need the anointing this morning. I need it more than my breath. God, I need the anointing. Anoint me, Lord. Drench me, Lord. Let me walk and talk different, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes. You're not fighting for your battles with your own strength. Anointing makes a difference on your prayers, on your praise, on your house. Notice the qualifications in verse number 32. It shall not be poured on man's flesh, nor shall you make any other like it. No substitute, the real thing. Notice, it shall not be poured on man's flesh. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 5, listen to what Paul penned. He says, we're to live life through the Spirit. Amen. Live life through the Spirit. In verse 5, I know people love when I give them the word, right? It's, woo, cut you up. Here it goes. It says, for those who live according to the, thank you, set their minds on the things of the flesh. Those who are dominated by their sinful nature, they set their eyes on sin. Romans chapter 8, verse 6, the next verse says, for to be carnally minded is death. How did I get to thinking like it? How did I slip so far away? How did I get so stagnant? How did I get so stale? What happened to me? I still believe in God, still love God, but I ain't got what I used to have. We become carnally minded, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit have life and peace. Then it ends this way in verse 8 of Romans 8. So then, those who are in the flesh, that's what it says right there, isn't it? Sometimes, every now and then, every 20 years, cannot. I'm only talking about me. I don't know about nobody else. But I know when I'm walking in the flesh, I cannot please my God. I know I can't, because the Word says I cannot please God. But look at this in Galatians chapter 3, verse 3. Verse 2, I'm going to give you that. God didn't put it up here. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? Let me say it again. Did you receive the Spirit? Now think about when you received the Spirit of God. Did you do it by works or law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? That's what it says right there in verse 2. I didn't want to confuse you, all right? But listen to verse 3. Having begun in the Spirit. This is how it all starts. Then the enemy, the steal, kill, and destroy, the hijacking, the lukewarmness, the fence riding, the half-truths, the lies, the bait of Satan, everything we talk about, right? It says that we began in the Spirit. Are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Come on, keep it real. You're going to chase the flesh, the ways of the world, and think it's going to end up all right? He said, I've already told you, you've begun the Spirit. When I give you, give your life to me, everything I made new, you are a new creature in Christ. But then we begin to feed the flesh. What happens to people when they get a little age of maturity or maybe even some experience in attending church? They began in the Spirit. Everybody say, I began in the Spirit. This is how we were when we first got saved. We begin in the Spirit. They begin by learning and depending on the anointing of the Holy Spirit that was awakened inside of us. But as you get older, you just learn how to do things. Paul stressed that just as they began their Christian lives in the power of the Spirit, they should also grow by the Spirit in the power of the Spirit of a living God. We should be growing in the Spirit, feeding the Spirit constantly. He said, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? It seems foolish to us when we hear it put that way. There are a lot of us here today who started in the Spirit. Now you're doing stuff in the flesh, and you're beginning to think, if I can just perform good enough, if I can fake it to make it, if I can put extra money in the plate, if I can have the right friends or the right job, or I can have more, and what happens, all of a sudden the Spirit of the living God, I ain't telling you nothing you don't already know, all of a sudden it's departed from you. It's not working, and you're cold as you can be. It's like freezer ice, and it sticks to your hands, and it won't let go. You know what I'm talking about? When you started that ministry, that job, those things, you were connected to the anointing. You were connected to the Spirit. Now, have you gone so far that you're learning, leaning on the arm of the flesh? It's nobody's place to ask you that but yourself. You hear me? Are you dependent on the flesh now? John 6:33, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. It is the Spirit that quickens you. That is called the anointing. The Holy Spirit gives spiritual life. Without the work of the Holy Spirit, we cannot even see our needs for new life. All spiritual renewal begins and it ends with God. Amen? I know I got a lot of notes. I'm working through them. I love the story of 1 Samuel chapter 16. When Samuel was told to stop mourning over Saul, I'm going to anoint a new king, he said. Do you want the anointing in the position of God to pass past you? God saved you with purpose. Let me keep going. I'm going to anoint a new king. Go down to Jesse's house. He said, take a little hin of oil, 6 quarts. Anoint one of his sons, and I'll show you who it's going to be. And he goes to Jesse's house. The Bible says they brought in 7 of the boys, and they left one out in the field. They left one out in the field. His name was David. And I love this story because it's like me and you. We just counted out. But God seen us anyway. The older, taller, the more handsome, the one that should have been by the standards ways. Eli had a presence about him. Scripture says in 1 Samuel 16:6, so it was when they came that he looked at Eli and said, surely, this is the Lord's anointed before him. Samuel, the prophet here, is going on what you can see. He's looking at things that's before you, the obvious. Eli looked presidential. He looked like he should be the one, and he was the oldest, so wasn't that be the right one? That's where God, when God said, don't pour that oil on him because he looks like it. He is waiting on a promotion. He is looking for something for himself. I want to be promoted. And God says, nope, it ain't about looking at anything about you. Never picked that up in Scripture, did you? 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7 says, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. God sees the heart. Don't pour the oil on him, he says. They bring 7 of them in, and he won't pour the oil on any of them. I can imagine what this was causing. And Jesse's house, I know something must have been going crazy, but in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 8, so Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. He said, I'm not going to anoint this. God looks on the outside, we look at the outside, but God looks at the heart. And if it isn't right, if it isn't pure, if it isn't clean, he'll pass it by. God looks at our heart. Amen? He asked Jesse, isn't there no one else? I do have another boy. He won't amount to much. He's the sorriest little young thing anyway. A little ruddy, red-headed, freckle-faced boy out there. He's a boy. Can't knowing him as king, right? He's out in the field anyway. Got sheep dung between his toes. You don't want to bring him in here. What is he out there in the field doing? What are you supposed to be doing? What are you supposed to be doing? What you're supposed to be doing? God's called you. Our calls are different. 1 Samuel 16:11. And Samuel said to Jesse, are all the young men here? And then he said, there remains yet the youngest. And there he is, keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send to bring him here. Bring him on up in here, right? He's out in the field singing and writing songs. And he's the one that wrote the 23rd Psalm, as we know. He's just worshiping the Lord. That's all he's doing, just going about his business. And nobody's looking. He don't care what everybody else is saying. They call him in, and Samuel sees him. And he says he is quickened. It says that he is quickened, and he pours the oil on him. He begins to pour the oil on him. Verse 13, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Amen. It tells him you are going to be the next king of Israel, and the Bible says the anointing came on David from that day forward. Now, this is powerful. Wouldn't you like to leave this service today and say, from this day forward, I will never again go without the anointing. I need the anointing that's from God himself. It reminds me when David was going to fight Goliath. That was awesome. Goliath says, you're going to come against me, you little snotty-nosed boy. You're going to come against me like that. I'm paraphrasing. He said, you know, the truth is, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but let me finish this. Saul said, here, take my armor. And he said, I can't handle that. I don't even know how that stuff works. David said, no thanks. I'll take my slingshot, what I know how to use, and the five little rocks, which I know how to throw. And what he was saying was, and what God's saying to us, take what I've already given you. Take what you already know. Quit looking somewhere else for it. I've already put the deposit in you. It's already right where it needs to be. Just start slinging that slingshot. Go ahead and let that rock go. Look, I'm going to tell somebody something here today. Because I have the anointing, is what God's saying. I have your anointing in mind. I have you. Just ask God to anoint you and your ability. Don't worry about others. There is no giant that won't fall when you come at him. And the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and his anointing is upon you. When those giants come, they might look 9 foot tall like Goliath, but once you do what you know what to do, it'll make him nothing but a great big speed bump that you can walk right over. That's what the anointing does. You pray about it, speak it into existence, and watch it fall at the feet of Jesus. The anointing makes the difference. Praise him for the anointing, amen. There's a difference when the anointing comes. There's a freedom, there's an unction, as we talked about when the anointing does come. Flesh may be mad when the anointing comes, but it will look foolish when the anointing comes on you because they can't stop you. You hear me? Yeah, I've been at church services where spouses say, would you settle down a little bit? What in the world got all over you? The anointing. Well, you come on, we got to leave. I did this to my little baby girl 30-some years ago, I guess it's been now. I walked into a youth camp in London, and I walk in there, and they said, who are you looking for? I told them, they said, oh, she's the drunk girl. I said, she better not be drinking. Dad beat her butt. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. And she's over there in the corner, man. And I said, how long has she been there? She said, oh, about 12 hours. I said, what's going on? They said, she talking to the Lord or something. We don't know, but man, she ain't got up. I go over and try to pick her up. Couldn't budge this little 100-pound girl. It's the anointing. It's under the anointing. It's when nothing else matters. When God is working on your Holy Spirit, when God's doing something only God can do. They can't hold you down when you're in the anointing. The devil is afraid of you when you're in the anointing. Somebody needs to raise their hands this morning and say, anoint me with fresh oil. Yeah. Anoint me with fresh oil. Pour it over me. Yeah. Fresh oil. We need fresh oil. Listen, in verse 13 of 1 Samuel 16, then Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and he said, it shall not be poured on strangers. Exodus 30:33. I'm getting ready to close here. Whoever compounds any like it, or whoever puts any of it on an outsider or a stranger, shall be cut off from his people. If you stay distant as far from God, if you're staying distant or as far from God, if you're so distracted you can't listen to my word this morning, if you can't even hear the word, don't expect the anointing. Don't come up here and expect anything. You hear me? If you're distracted, refocus. If God's called you, repurpose. Whatever God did, God meant it. Amen? This is for chosen vessels when we anoint this morning. The anointing is a witness of the Holy Spirit of a sanctified life. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14 through 15, we have been made perfect, yet we are still being made holy. We have been made perfect, yet we are still being made holy. Verse 14 says, "For by one offering he was perfected forever those who are being sanctified by the Holy Spirit, also witnesses to us." You look at the word, as we know, sanctified means set apart, but for God's special use and purpose. When you see someone who is sanctified, the anointing is on their life. That is the witness of the Holy Spirit. I have anointed this one. I have chosen them. I have set them apart. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse number 8, and this is Solomon's final conclusion, a common destiny, as he's saying, for all. Let your garments always be white, and let your head lack no oil. He's speaking of purity. Everybody say purity. He's speaking of purity because you're sanctified. It's producing power for you to have that anointing and the anointing upon your hand. And purity always produces power. Purity always produces power. We have come to the place in this generation that we're in right now where sanctification makes people begin to gag. Sanctification makes people begin to gag. It says be reserved, as we look at sanctification, for holy use. Do you want to be sanctified? Who cares if someone's gagging about it? Do you want the real thing? Do you want to be sanctified? Do you want to be set apart? Do you want to be for God's use? Sanctification demonstrates the urgency to be emptied out of anything that impairs against and being a useful vessel that's only for God and for God's glory. Do you want that? Yes. You're hearing me this morning, right? The anointing is attracted to a person who is sanctified, set apart, consecrated, says, "My life is for Jesus Christ, and I don't care what everybody else thinks. I want the anointing more than anything else, and I won't leave here without it. I can't let everything hinder me and my anointing. I've been called." Verse 33, whoever compounds any like it, again, the same scripture. It says, he said there will be great penalty for anyone who tries to substitute the ingredients. They have to be in the anointing. Don't substitute. Don't make another like it. Don't pretend. We need the real thing, baby. He doesn't want substitutes. We're living in the hour of substitutes in the body of Christ. We think we can substitute the anointing of the Holy Spirit for other things when there is nothing that will get the job done like the anointing of Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Nothing like the real thing. 2 Chronicles in chapter 12 in closing. You want to read this? I know you know this story, but if not, read it later, please. I want to talk to you about the fake. Everybody say fake. I get so sick of people telling, fake it till you make it. All right? And then 2 Chronicles chapter 12, verses 9 through 10. Due to their sin, everybody say sin, they had lost their anointing. So Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem and took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. He took everything. Everybody say everything. Everything. Have you ever been robbed of everything? How about spiritually? Think about it. Don't answer it. He also carried away the gold shields which Solomon had made. Then, listen to this in verse 10. Then King Rehoboam made, bronze shield. Everybody say fake. They make them fake bronze shields in their place and committed them to the hands of the captain of the guard who guarded the doorway of the king's house. 300 gold shields outside the temple stolen. When they were backslidden, the enemies stole them. I don't believe in backsliding. When you slide back a little bit, the devil will strip you clean. And they keep going, afraid of the morals of the people. He had them bring these brass shields in instead of the bronze, the gold shields. And he had them polish them so the people can't tell a fake from the real thing. Everybody say aye. And that's what's going on today. That's what's going on today. It's threaded everywhere. All of a sudden, well, the Bible says, no, it don't. What's in the scripture? Well, they took that one out. Well, that means, no, it don't. You hear me? Everything I tell you, you'd go figure it out if it's the truth. Because everything I tell you is a lie until you Prove it for yourself. Let me keep going. I'm not talking about just me. I'm talking about anybody. Amen. Right? Let me keep going. That's a fake thing. Polish them so that people can't tell the fake from the real thing. I wonder often if what we have in the church is brass shields. Well, it looks awful good. Look like we got the anointing. It seemed like it. I mean, I don't know, but all of a sudden we got the same doorway, or the same tree, same branch, same knot, and the same YMA. Trying our best to imitate the real thing, which is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Are we faking it to make it? Look at this. I'm going to put this on the board for you. There is no limitation that can compare. Or, I'm sorry, imitation. There is no imitation that can compare to the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And it's here right now. And no imitation can do it. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set the liberty those who are oppressed. Do we need this? This is New Testament scripture. This is us saying, well, God still don't still want us to pray and anoint each other and expect a healing. It says by Jesus Christ's 39 stripes, we are healed. It says for us to gather together, to anoint, to pray for, to lift up, to awaken the Holy Spirit that's inside of us. Can you say amen? And look at Acts chapter 10, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. See, the problem is today, quit walking in your own. And start walking in the power and the might of Jesus Christ. He anointed him with the Holy Spirit and the power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. And today, we don't even want to talk about the devil in church. We better be talking about the devil in church, or he'll be talking about us in his house, in our house. When you get anointed, you will go about. When you get anointed, God will open doors for you like he's never opened before. When you get anointed, they can't hold you down. You'll go out and about and do what God's called you to do. When you get anointed, it will make things happen, and you can't make it happen in your own. And you begin to know that what set you free, what's delivered you, and what's healed you, God wants to anoint every one of us. But he's asking us today, would you like to be set apart? Would you like to be drenched with the anointing? Would you like something brand new? Will you please put me first? Will you listen to me? Will you allow me to anoint you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, that when you begin to talk about me, they're going to say there's something new about that person, amen. There's something about them. I can smell it. I can see it. I can see the footprints. They don't walk the same. They don't look the same. They've been anointed from on high. Surely they've been in the presence of the living God. As the praise team comes up, are you seeking the anointing? Do you really have the anointing? Is there flies in your ointment? Is there flies in your ointment? When was the last time that God blessed us so much we couldn't even stand against it? When was the last time? Go all the way back to when we first met Jesus Christ is the best way to gauge that. We begin to look at what he did for me. He met me in the midst of my muck and mire. He delivered me. All I had to do is believe in my heart and profess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. I began to repent and turn around. Didn't know where I was even turning, but there he was. I walked right into his arms. He's never left me, never forsaken me, never quit on me. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. But now I need that anointing to be stirred up. Who needs the anointing? Let's all stand all over the house. As they get ready to sing here in just a second, I'm going to ask you, who needs that anointing this morning? If you need the anointing this morning, just go ahead and make your way up here. If you don't want the anointing, but you want to get closer to God, just go ahead and come on up here. If you just want to praise and get a little more, whatever it is, it's personal. It's nobody's business but your own. Come on up here and flow all the way across. Open that middle aisle, if you will. Just keep on coming. There's going to be a lot of people seeking the anointing today. As we begin to look for this anointing, I believe in this anointing that we're talking about. We need the anointing in our lives, in our schools, in our families, our jobs. We need the anointing in our heart. Listen, the anointing is what makes the difference, amen. If you go from battle to battle, scar to scar, and you're never walking in the anointing, it just gets heavy. It this seems burdensome because you're walking in the flesh and not in the spirit. What God's calling us to do with the anointing is to begin to walk in what he has for you. He has given you a deposit of the Holy Spirit. It's all right that you don't understand it completely, but when you begin to walk in the anointing, it doesn't matter what everybody else says about you or thinks about you. I'm telling you, when God begins to set down on you in the anointing, when he begins to saturate you with 6 quarts of oil, it doesn't matter what you used to be. It don't matter what you think you are. What matters is when God begins to pour it upon you, it's going to saturate you, and everybody's going to look at you just a little bit different, amen. It don't matter what they say. He says, I set you apart. I anointed you. I rose you up. I saved your life, and now I'm going to use you to advance the kingdom of God. That is mine and your story. It's the anointing. Everybody say the anointing. As we begin to do praise and worship, I'm going to come around, and I'm going to take this oil. And if you want anointed, if you want to be anointed, I want you to raise both your hands and say, anoint me. And I have an anticipation that when God begins to anoint you with fresh oil, it says it'll be uncontrollable. Everything that's come against you is going to fall off. Sickness is going to flee. The devil's a liar, but God is truth. As we begin to look at this anointing and you want some more, I'm going to spend about 2 seconds with each one of you. And if your hands are up, I'm going to take this fresh oil. You're going to begin to smell this oil, and I'm going to begin to touch your head with it. And I'm going to ask God, every time that you go through a trial, every time that spirit needs to be reminded, I'm going to say, let them smell that fresh oil. Let them know that they're walking in something different. They're chosen by God. It might not be easy, but God, I want some more of that. It might be dark tonight, but I'm going to walk in my anointing. I'm going to walk in my favor of the Lord, I'm going to begin to get what God intended for me to have. If that's you this morning, I'm going to come around. You just put your hands right up in the air when I get to you. And when I get to you, begin to allow God to do what only God can do. The only thing significant in this oil right here is it might smell good. It might smell sweet. It might be an aroma about it. But what you're saying is go ahead and anoint me.
Yes.
Go ahead and just pour that on me, because what I need, God, is for you to be in control. You must increase. I must decrease.
Yes.
I want you more than anything else in my life, Lord.